West Virginians for Life worked closely with West Virginia legislators to do something very powerful. Together, we worked to pass a proposed constitutional amendment, which will be on the ballot for the November general elections. Amendment 1 says, "Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion." Its purpose is to cleanse our state constitution from abortion and allow the state legislature to exercise its rightful responsibility for control over the funding of abortion. Abortion would still be legal in West Virginia under federal rulings. What will change is that our tax dollars won't pay for an abortion, except in rare cases when the life of the mother is at stake, medical emergency, reported rape or incest, or fetal anomaly. The people of West Virginia will be able to decide whether or not taxpayer dollars should be used to fund elective abortions. Over the years, taxpayers have paid for nearly 35,000 abortions at a cost of almost $10 million. For elective abortions, for the entire 9 months of pregnancy, for any reason, or no reason at all. As West Virginia citizens, we have a moral responsibility to end forced tax payment for abortion. If you're not registered to vote, you can register online at the Secretary of State's website. It's fast, easy, and free. Go to ovr.sos.wv.gov. You can also register for free at your nearest DMV or using paper forms available from your county courthouse. Please consider hosting a voter registration event at your church or civic group. A couple of laptops in the foyer or computers in the fellowship hall can get a lot of people registered to vote in a pretty short time. Again, the website is ovr.sos.wv.gov. Please get your family members and friends to the polls on November 6th and vote yes on Amendment 1. Visit the website yesononewv.com for resources such as a downloadable fact sheet, to donate online to help educate the public about Amendment 1, and to order promotional materials including yard signs, window clings, t-shirts, and lapel pins. Again, the web address is yesononewv.com. yesononewv.com. We'll never have another chance to stop taxpayer funding of abortion. West Virginians for Life is counting on you to help with these efforts. Again, it is essential that every pro-life West Virginian vote yes on Amendment 1.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
One of the most important goals that God has for His people is for them to develop the ability to discern the holy from the profane. But one of the most important skill sets for a Christian to succeed in living for God is to be able to discern friend from foe. And I want to bring you now the conclusion of a two-part series, preaching that recently took place in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church, in which I preached a message titled Friend or Foe. I bless you in the name of Jesus with this good preaching and teaching from God's Word.
For a miracle to be done in Washington, D.C., in the heart of every senator, in the heart of every one of our representatives, in the heart of our president, in the heart of his cabinet members, God, that you will get a hold of them and help them to have a wisdom from on high to be able to make a fix to this system in the name of the Lord Jesus. Woo! While we're at it, let's pray for a miracle for Brother Nicho. Lord, we speak your word with an unction of the prophetic for a miracle to happen, for Brother Nicho to be reunited with his family in the name of Jesus. Oh, I say, I tell you. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. As long as David, the poet king, turned warlord, so to speak, but he was a battle axe for God. But as long as David was being a friend to God, he walked circumspectly. But whenever David got rogue, whenever David got out of alignment, whenever David got out of his position and became at odds with God, he turned into a thief. You say, Pastor Joseph, what did he steal? Have you never read what the prophet Nathan said to him? He told a story of a man who had a choice of selection of sheep, But he went to a poor man in the village and demanded the only sheep he had. David, thinking of this thief, stood up and said, You bring him to me. I'm going to deal with him. And Nathan pointed his finger and said, thou art the man. What was he talking about? David stole another man's wife. I want you to think of the words of Jesus about a thief. Jesus said, the thief. Pay attention to that. Pay attention. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? We think of a thief as stealing, but that's not all he said. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hear me. Anyone who will be a thief will not only steal, they will potentially murder and commit acts of destruction. David stole another man's wife. He later resorted to murder, killing the husband from whom he had stolen, and in the process, destroying a family, destroying his own integrity, and destroying much future yet unrealized benefits in his life. In fact, a lot of those destroyed future blessings were never, ever realized in spite of his repentance. And I read to you from James chapter 4. I want to show you an interesting parallel. Think about David getting out of alignment and out of friendship with God, becoming an enemy of God. And in his aimless wandering out of alignment with God, becoming a thief and being a thief that would not only steal but kill and destroy. Think about that when you read what James says. From where come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence from your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, so you steal. You kill. Isn't this amazing? That's the very next item in the list. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Destroy. Yet you have not. Because you ask not. You know, it's amazing. When you have a healthy friendship, a healthy relationship with a friend, and one of you needs something, that one that needs can turn to the friend and ask. But when your relationship is broken, you don't ask. And then if you could even find a way to form a horrific request, he said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. There's something wonderful about this church and many other churches I've been to. We are a people that say, I love serving God. I love doing the work of God. Whenever I ask for the Lord to heal my body, I'm not just asking because I want to be selfish about being healthy. I'm asking because I want to be healthy so I can do a better job serving the Lord and helping people in His kingdom. And then James said this, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I want you to think about the concept of a friend and an enemy. That's going to get a little heavy. As long as everything is perfect, none of God's precepts are ever put into contradiction with each other. But as soon as sin enters the picture, sin complicates things. And sin can get things so complicated that one of God's principles is twisted into being at odds with another one of God's principles. Let me give you an example. It is a godly principle for us to revere civil authority. And it is a godly principle for us to abhor and seek to prevent needless loss of life, to stop murder from taking place. That's a godly precept. Normally, those two precepts are never at odds with one another. But a wicked, sinful Pharaoh once told the Hebrew midwives, when the Jewish male child is born, I want you to kill it. Now, those Jewish midwives were godly, and they didn't want to kill those babies. They did not want to be disobedient to civil authority, but the godly principle of obedience to civil authority was then twisted such that it was at odds with the principle of preserving against needless loss of life. Whenever God's precepts, because of the complications of sin, whenever God's precepts are twisted into conflict with each other, we as thinking people have to reason out which precept has preeminence. How foolish would it have been for those midwives to say, well, we don't want to kill anybody, but we've got to be obedient to the Pharaoh. So they chose to uphold the more preeminent principle against needless loss of life while temporarily setting aside the godly principle of obeying civil authority. They even, in an effort to prevent more needless loss of life, which was to prevent the murder of themselves, when asked about it, they even spoke deceptively to the Pharaoh about what was happening. Isn't that another godly principle? That you don't deceive, that you're not dishonest, that you don't tell a lie? But yet that one also got twisted until it was in conflict with another. These midwives made a wise choice. You know what the Bible says? That God made their houses great. You think that means God loves lying? You think it means God loves disobedience to civil authority? No. It means that God saw that they were tested in a horrific test, and they had to make a decision, and they made the right decision, and so God honored them for it. I want you to think about it. Think about, there is evil in this world. There are men who load ammo and guns into their car and then go find innocent people riding bicycles, and they run them off the road with their cars and then shoot them and stab them for no valid reason. There is evil in this world. There is an enemy to our soul, and there are people who have gotten themselves under the grip of demons and devils, and there are people who are just so carnal, they are evil. I'm telling you, you may not like to think about it, but you have enemies in this world. Every time there are jihadist-minded people who gather themselves together by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and chant at the top of their lungs, "Death to America! Death to Israel!" Listen, they mean it. Somebody said, what do we care if Iran gets nuclear weapons? I'll tell you what we care. They will shoot one at you. There is evil in this world. Yet in spite of that, Jesus said to love your enemies. Now what I'm about to say to you may sound harsh, but I'm going to tell you, if an enemy came in here, while I am still loving him, if that enemy is trying to shoot and stab a bunch of you, I will take him out while loving him all the time. Why? How can you love someone and yet take action to, as law enforcement says, neutralize them? I'll tell you how. I love that enemy, but I love you and 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 you. And if allowing him to murder you is defined as love, that's crazy. So I'm talking to you about a tough love. I'm talking to you about a love that says, we love you, but if you try to steal, kill, and destroy, then we are going to treat you as a criminal thief. We're going to treat you as a murderer. We're going to treat you as an evil that must be stopped. And that doesn't mean we don't love them. If you haven't prayed for jihadists lately, you need to start praying for them. It's probably the best thing we could do to bring help to the situation. Did you know around this world, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by way of dreams and visions and manifestations, is revealing himself to Muslim people? There are Muslim people, former Muslims, who are now serving the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with his spirit, Because the Lord God appeared to them in the form of Jesus Christ and said, I'm the one you need to be following. Unredeemed people are upside down in their thinking, and they are backwards in their perception of friend and foe. There are people who accept the demonic as friend. They accept the occult, demons, devils. They accept evil people as friends, all while rejecting God and God's people as though we are the enemy. How is it that someone, well, the Bible foretells that evil will be called good and good will be called evil. We are ever more alive in that day. But I rise to declare to you that God is good. Like Abraham of old, it gives me a thrill to have the privilege to say, I am the friend of God. I am a kindred spirit with godly influences. On the birthday of the church, the Apostle Peter preached to the crowd that day, and he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That word untoward means a confused generation. Or if you'll let me say it this way, a generation wandering aimlessly, that is out of place, that is out of alignment, that's out of proper relationship, that is at odds with God, that is at enmity with God. The scripture says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. But just as Jehu, who called out, is there anybody in there that's on the Lord's side? When he came as an instrument of judgment against the wicked house of Ahab and against the witchcraft of Jezebel, he said, who is on the Lord's side? And thank God there were a couple of men that said, we're on the Lord's side. And he said, regarding that witch, he said, throw her down. And they said, yes, sir. And they threw her down. Well, that sounds kind of rough, doesn't it? I'm telling you what, folks. The days are gone when you can just roll along pretending you don't have to pay attention and you don't have to make a decision. You better make up your mind quick whose side you're on. I am on the Lord's side. He is coming one day, and by the prophecies, it looks like it will be soon. And he is coming to bring the judgment day of God. And when he gets here with judgment, you better have made up your mind whose side you are on. Who do you accept as good? Who do you call a friend? Who do you recognize as the adversary of your soul? Who do you recognize as the enemy of all righteousness? Joshua cried out to the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. I cry out to you today, make a defining choice. Or if you've already made that choice, then rededicate and recommit yourself to the defining choice that I am serving the Lord God Almighty with all of my heart. There is never a good time to be the enemy of God, but as judgment draws nigh, it's an especially bad day to be the enemy of God. If there was ever a time to make up your mind, this is that hour. Furthermore, this is the voice of the Spirit. Being lukewarm is unacceptable. The Lord said in the book of Revelation that he wished that his people would either be hot or cold, but because they were lukewarm, he said he would spew them out of his mouth. It is time to stand up and say, I am not halfway in this thing. I am all the way in this thing. I aim to be on fire for God. He is is my friend and the devil is my enemy, and that makes the ungodliness of the world my enemy. Now we shout on that, but I got to preach to you a little bit. That means discerning the body of Christ. If you're going to tell friend from foe, that means discerning the body of Christ. If you think that your brother is your enemy, your discerner is broken. If we're going to discern friend from foe, we've got to discern the body of Christ and say, that's not my enemy, that's my friend. We have a hard enough time getting along with each other as it is without somebody sowing discord trying to tell us something against our brother or against our sister. This is what the scripture says when the apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth about the communion supper. He said that if you don't discern the body, then you can't take the communion properly. And he told them, he said, that's why many are sick among you and some are dying. Whew. You hear me? You need to make up your mind that in addition to standing against the devil, I am not going to stand against my brother. I'm going to stand with my brother. There are so many times that I wished I had Billy Cole's gift. He had many gifts, but I'm speaking right now of this one. Whenever he had a hard message to say, he could say it in a way that would just make you roar with laughter. And while you were laughing, he would get out the surgeon's sword and dice and slice. He would preach you under the table. Somebody said, stepping on toes. He's chopping toes off. All while you're laughing. What a wonderful gift. I've looked at it over the years with awe. I watched him at Louisiana camp getting ready to dice and slice. He'd say, oh, it's getting a little tight in here. Tighter than a snare drum. He'd say, time to laugh, Billy Cole. He wouldn't even tell a joke. He'd just laugh and they'd laugh at him laughing. And then while they were laughing, he would preach. Boy, what a gift. Maybe God will give it to me someday. I don't have it right now. So I'm not going to say this in a big, harsh tone. I'm pert near going to whisper it. Believers, tonight, you're watching by way of the live stream. If there's anybody in this room, as the old saying goes, if the shoe fits, wear it. It is time to stop fussing and feuding and quarreling over petty nonsense and jealousy and coveting and backbiting and murmuring and complaining against your brother and your sister. We are on the same team. Young men wanting to marry that girl, you ever have to show up for the interview? You know, like when an immigrant is trying to come into the country and they stop him at customs and they say, what is the purpose of your visit? Why are you coming in here? You ever seen the dad all bowed up, getting ready to protect the girl, saying to the young man, what are your intentions with my daughter? Let me tell you something. The Bible says to try the spirits. I know that not everything that hangs around the church is the church. I know that. But that's what I'm preaching about, discerning the body. God bless us with maturity and discernment that we can tell the difference between wheat and tares. And then knowing the difference can have the patience and the stamina and the peace to let the tares and the wheat grow up together until the time of judgment at harvest. Say, well, Pastor, I can tell they're not the true church. Okay, so now what are you going to do about it? Well, I want to go in and tear those tares out. You better read the parable of Jesus. The parable of Jesus shows that when you go trying to get people trounced out of the church, you're not only damaging tares, you will damage wheat. The apostle pleads against allowing a root of bitterness to spring up. Why? And thereby many be defiled. Well, Pastor, you were just preaching about tough love. Yeah, if somebody's got a gun or a knife, absolutely. But if we're just talking about somebody that thinks they're okay when they're not, if Jesus tells you to love your enemy, then even if you count that tear as your enemy, you still gotta love them. Hey, who knows? If you love on them, God could work a miracle to turn a tear into wheat. We are a holy family. I want to ask you to get somebody by the hand right now, and let's gather together in unity at the front of this sanctuary. Let's make a commitment to serve Him on fire for God in this momentous hour of fulfilled prophecy, and with the pregnancy of the birthing of revival, and with the imminency of the doom of God's judgment on a wayward culture. Let's commit ourselves to have discernment and maturity and love in a crucial hour, and to stand with our brother and our sister in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
West Virginians for Life worked closely with West Virginia legislators to do something very powerful. Together, we worked to pass a proposed constitutional amendment, which will be on the ballot for the November general elections. Amendment 1 says, "Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion." Its purpose is to cleanse our state constitution from abortion and allow the state legislature to exercise its rightful responsibility for control over the funding of abortion. Abortion would still be legal in West Virginia under federal rulings. What will change is that our tax dollars won't pay for an abortion, except in rare cases when the life of the mother is at stake, medical emergency, reported rape or incest, or fetal anomaly. The people of West Virginia will be able to decide whether or not taxpayer dollars should be used to fund elective abortions. Over the years, taxpayers have paid for nearly 35,000 abortions at a cost of almost $10 million. For elective abortions, for the entire 9 months of pregnancy, for any reason or no reason at all. As West Virginia citizens, we have a moral responsibility to end forced tax payment for abortion. If you're not registered to vote, you can register online at the Secretary of State's website. It's fast, easy, and free. Go to ovr.sos.wv.gov. You can also register for free at your nearest DMV or using paper forms available from your county courthouse. Please consider hosting a voter registration event at your church or civic group. A couple of laptops in the foyer or computers in the fellowship hall can get a lot of people registered to vote in a pretty short time. Again, the website is ovr.sos.wv.gov. Please get your family members and friends to the polls on November 6th and vote yes on Amendment 1. Visit the website yesononewv.com for resources such as a downloadable fact sheet, to donate online to help educate the public about Amendment 1, and to order promotional materials including yard signs, window clings, t-shirts, and lapel pins. Again, the web address is yesononewv.com, yesononewv.com. We'll never have another chance to stop taxpayer funding of abortion. West Virginians for Life is counting on you to help with these efforts. Again, it is essential that every pro-life West Virginian vote yes on Amendment 1.